thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wole here, my boy Will T. Patching Will T on right now. What's going on, Will T?
Nothing much. How you doing, sir?
Good, man. We got a special show. First off, man, happy birthday, Pac, man. Today's Pac's birthday, man. No happy birthday? It's today's Pac's birthday. You ain't know?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's why I'm watching Juice, man. It's Pac's birthday, man. Say happy birthday to Pac, man. No happy birthday to Pac? That's
happy
how you
birthday,
feel?
Happy birthday to Pac.
Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group called Urban Sports Scene Sports Bloggers, Sports Podcasters, and Sports Debates. Make sure you check us out. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, man. Here's what we have on tap. As part of our PG Baller series, we will have PG Basketball and Georgetown Hoyas legend Michael Sweeney on the show at 8:25. Seawall Sports and Entertainment's Candy Waller will join the show to discuss teams being interested in Washington Redskins linebacker Ryan Anderson. Finally, at 8:40, we'll have Bite Down Boxing's Reginald Woodson on the show to chat about the two-fight deal between Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. But first, right now, we have PG Basketball legend and Georgetown Hoya great Mike Sweeney on the line. What's going on, Mike?
And hold on.
Hold what?
And former New York Knick.
And former New York Knick. I'm sorry, Will T. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing, man?
We good.
All right, how you doing, Mike?
Good, man. I can't call it, man. Just trying to stay safe, man.
All right, man. All right. Well, first of all, thank you for joining the show. First of all, so I know you're really busy, but we wanted to get you on today. You know, as Wally alluded to, we are having a PG Baller series where we talk to a lot of the legendary basketball players who grew up in PG County and are products of the either private or public school basketball community who've gone on to college and do great things in the NBA.
No doubt, man. I appreciate that, man. Thank you guys for having me on, man. So thanks for thinking about me. I appreciate that.
Hey, much appreciated for being on. All right, so we all have a mutual friend in Ronnie Watkins. Big Ronnie passed away in 2014. You hoop with Ron. What did you remember about Big Ron's game?
No, Ronnie, that was my man. I've been Ronnie since elementary school, because I used to ride my bike to him. Because one of my best friends, Jason Jackson, mm-hmm. lived across the street from him. So I used to ride my bike to their neighborhood all the time, and, you know, go hooping, putting him whatever. So Ronnie was always taller and bigger. So challenge to play against him, because he was just so tall, and he was, as growing up, he was still trying to learn how to use his body and his height. Mm-hmm. Man, he was a great dude off the court, though, man. He was an amazing dude, man.
Yeah, definitely. Will T, you ball with Ron?
I played AAU. I played PG Jaguars. Played with Ron.
Yeah, Ron, Will T, you were a legend, right, for the Jaguars, right?
I wouldn't call myself a legend. I made my input within the organization.
Oh, man. And so Mike, PG basketball is getting a lot of notoriety because of KD's documentary. Thanks to KD's documentary, Basketball County in the Water. What were your thoughts on the documentary?
For me personally, man, I was kind of excited about it, you know, because for years when I was in college, NBA, overseas, I was always arguing with dudes how our area, you know, got mm-hmm. some of the best talent. And everybody knows I'm in New York, Chicago, LA. I'm like, man, we in that conversation. And nobody mm-hmm. wants to listen to us and believe me. Mm-hmm. So now that KD put that documentary out there, so I was like, now it's on wax. Now you have to see what I was talking about, the names and whatever. And with the documentary, obviously it was, you know, not enough time to even cover, you know, another 70% of people that could have been talked about on it. Man. So, I'm just glad that they even, you know, attempted to do it. Hopefully, you know, some more stuff comes about it. But just the fact that PG County was on a, you know, the national stage like Showtime, man, it was just amazing to watch, man. I was excited about it, man. I know a lot of dudes were kind of upset that they got left out or whatever it may be, man. But it's one of those things to me. I was just, you know, from a fellow PG County guy, man. Yeah. I was excited that we was on that stage, man.
Will T, you got a question?
Yeah. Mike, talk to us about, you went to what I call it, and a lot of people will reference it as Big Man U, which is Georgetown University. Georgetown has a lineage of producing some of the best centers in to go on to the in the college ranks and also in the NBA. Talk to us about the how was it being a local product, staying locally and playing and starring in college basketball? What was that like?
It was crazy because for me, people don't know this, I've really committed to Georgetown my 10th grade year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I heard about that. I actually heard about that. Real talk. I heard about that.
Yeah. Everybody said I was crazy, whatever, because at the time they had a couple of guys like Lee Scruggs was like a pro prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Courtland Freeman was coming at me. He was All-American. So he was like, you know, another prospect. So they was like, man, why would you choose to go there? You don't stand a chance. So for me, I was excited because I'm like, man, this is a hometown team that gave me some love. You know, big and go there, get, you know, go pro. So, you know, when I met with Coach, and he was like, man, you know, you're going to be a pro. I don't care what nobody else say. I believe in you. So that right there is all I need to hear. So to be able to go to Georgetown, you know, have my, you know, local family and friends come and see me play every home game and obviously, you know, do great work there, you know, It was probably one of the best films in the world, man. Like I can't really describe it. Like it was one of those things. Like as a kid growing up in Oxford Boys and Girls Club, my coach Howard Hill used to take us to Georgetown games, and I used to be one of those kids in the stands. Like wow, I would love to be out there one day playing. Never thinking it was gonna come true. So for me to go from that little kid to be on that floor, and obviously other little kids probably was watching me. So it was one of those things. Like it was an amazing experience, man. I can't explain it. It was an out of body experience for real.
So did you feel any pressure? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was actually going to ask the same.
Go, Booty. You can ask it.
Mike, did you feel any pressure being a hometown product, being a center, going to a university that has produced some of the best big men that the game has seen in the past 30 years, such as Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, and Dikembe Mutombo? Did you feel that pressure going on when you stepped on campus?
I think for me, as I said before, for me, I was going in under the radar. Like a couple people in PG County kind of knew a little bit that I had a little skills, but even some people in PG County didn't think that they didn't think I was going to see the floor. You know, they was like, oh, you got a scholarship, but you ain't going to see the floor. You ain't out. You're not going to outplay them all five of them big man there. So for me, I just took it as one of those experiences. Like, I'm going to go ahead and I'm about to work my butt off. You know, going into my freshman year, I'm going to prove everybody wrong. So I kind of came in one of those under the radar guys where I wouldn't even mention that the people that was going to be in a rotation. So I kind of took that personal. So I was working my butt off and went in there and just did what I had to do and, you know, proved everybody wrong. So for me, I think I kind of got that bailout because nobody wasn't even thinking that I was going to see the floor. So I kind of got lucky. But then once, after that freshman day, I was like, okay, dude, for real.
Yeah.
And that's when that pressure started to mount. Like, people were like, man, you gonna go pro? You leaving or you got a good chance? So that's when I started to feel that pressure every day.
Who was telling you this? I want to know who was talking to you. Because, I mean, I was at Roosevelt, and we was talking about, like, oh, yeah, he about to get some burn in Georgetown. Like, I want to know who was telling you that you weren't going to get any playing time for the Hoyas initially.
Man, you'd be surprised. Even people at my, you know, people that you're in your own backyard, just kind of doubted you. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things. It wasn't like every single person, but, you know, it was a good number of people that had a doubt in me that, you know, what was going to happen. So for me, I just took that personal. Like, all right, cool. I'm gonna show y'all. So it's one of those things that I took it personal. And for me, you know, I was glad to, you know, go there and become an All-American and obviously become a lottery pick. So, I mean, it just shows that hard work, you know, kind of paid off. So
let me pick up right there. You became a lottery pick, 9th overall, 2003 draft. I'm a Knicks fan, so I know these things.
Yeah, obviously.
And then you were drafted to the New York Knicks. As a Knicks fan, I was incredibly excited. Correct me if I'm mistaken, Mike. That year, it was Don Chaney started off as the coach, and then he was replaced by Herb Williams, correct, during your rookie year, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I told you I'm a fan, man.
So I'm going to tell y'all a quick funny story about that.
Okay.
With the Knicks. I didn't even know because, like, I knew Washington was picking 10. I went 9. So Washington was picking 10. So Washington and Seattle was like, Now, Washington had 10, Seattle had 13. Both teams, like, look, if you did, we're taking you. Mm. So after the eighth pick, I'm like, all right, I'm playing for the Wizards.
Oh, okay.
And then my agent got the call. He's like, yo, the Knicks, you know, about the draft. And I'm like, what? So, I didn't have no workouts with them. You know what I'm saying? I had, like, a quick meeting like the morning of, but, you know, that was it. Because they already had five people in my position. So I didn't think they was going to take me.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they took me. So I was like, it was one of those things on draft night where it was, like, the greatest moment of my life. Like, my dream came true, but I was low-key blown because I was like, man, it's about, I already knew what it was about to be a bunch of BS.
Mm.
Like, you got all these dudes making all this money in my position.
There you
go. Coming in, it's like, man, I'm coming in way under the eight ball. So it was a tough situation, but, you know, for me, like I said, a dream come true, but it also, like, it was like one of those, like, I don't even know how to feel right now type of situation.
So you did want to play for the Wizards, though. You wanted to play for the Wizards.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, ooh. Eddie Jordan was there at the time, so it was one of those things, like, we had a, you know, me and Eddie was close. We was cool, so and I knew that he was going to take care of me, make sure everything was good, and, you know, so I was hoping for that. And I would have loved to have been home. That would have been good.
Well, let me ask you this. Talk us through, what was that transition your rookie year, like being in New York, being, as you said, you know, coming up under the radar, but being the ninth overall pick and, you know, a lot of higher paid veterans in front of you. Like, what was your mentality? How, you know, how was that transition for you mentally? You know, because you came from being a star at Oxon Hill to being an All-American at Georgetown to being now power forward, ninth overall, but I believe there were like four or five guys ahead of you, if I'm not mistaken, on that roster.
For me, going in, it was crazy. I mean, it was a blur for me because, like, right before the season started, my father had died of a massive heart attack. Mm. So I, like, buried my father, had a funeral, buried my father, and, like, a day and a half later, I'm in training camp.
Mm.
So I'm still processing the death of my father. So I'm, like, literally, I don't even really remember that training camp. I was just, like, in another world, man, trying to just get through it. So for me, like, my rookie year was, like, a blur. Like, I remember a lot, but I don't. So it was one of those things. It was tough. I was just more so just, like, worried about my mom back home, trying to focus on basketball. So it was one of those situations where it was cool. But luckily, I had some good veteran guys like Charlie Ward, Allen Houston, Kurt Thomas, McDykes. They were good guys that kind of tried to keep me, you know, well mentally balanced off the court as much as they could at the time or whatever. So for me, it was like deeper than basketball. Mm-hmm. But it was cool though, man. It was cool. I had some good guys that just, you know, no matter how much money they made, they were always just human and, like, really looked out for me as a rookie. They did.
I wanted to go back to your PG County roots. You said you balled Oxon Hill Boys and Girls. How was your Boys and Girls experience? Because nowadays, folks do the AAU circuit. They don't do Boys and Girls.
Yeah, it's crazy. You can tell I'm old, man. So, like, my Boys and Girls Club experience was great. Like, we played in the fall, and then, you know, my team, we pretty much won the championship every year.
Dang,
I think except
tough.
For 1 year we lost to Kettering.
I hate Kettering, FYI. We're going to continue.
Yeah. So my Boys and Girls Club experience was great. Like I said, we won championships. And my same guys that I played county with, we kind of played on the same AAU team.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, most of us ended up playing high school ball together. So it was one of those things that it was like a family situation. It was cool, man. It was a lot of fun. And it's just different because, like, you know, at least we had, like, a break. Like, we'll, like, play a couple months of county,
mm-hmm.
take a break, take a couple months of AAU ball. Now, like, these kids play, like, 365 all year long.
No.
Like, it's crazy. But, it obviously, you know, I ain't trying to be the old guy that, you know, whatever. For me, obviously, time changes. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, these kids' body just taking attachment. But, for you know, right now, it's mm-hmm. one of those things where, I guess, you know, more exposure, the more leagues, everybody got so many tournaments. There was so much going on now. The game is evolving. So I kind of get it in a way, but mm-hmm. it's one of those things, like, it's definitely changed from when I grew up, though.
So,
Mike, let me ask you this. My bad.
No, go, Wilty, go. Wilty, go. Go.
No, you said you hinted in on it during that last answer when you talked about the amount of basketball that these younger players are playing now at AAU opposed to, you know, where you played boys and girls and then played high school and then went into the AAU season. Do you think that the kids now are at a disadvantage from a physical standpoint because they put their bodies through so much that by the time they get to college and get and if they make it to the NBA, the amount of mileage and wear and tear that they have on their body, you know, through playing AAU at such a young age and playing year round.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, you look at now, man. Like guys can't even last through 82 game season in the league because, you know, after a while, that wear and tear. I mean, it's scientifically known. Like, doctors, it's a toll on your body. Like, you're playing all year long. Yeah, you might be young, but after a while, your body starts to break down. So, yeah, it definitely takes a toll on your body. And that's why guys start to get injured so much. You know, ACL gets torn. Like, you think about when you watch back in the days when, the 2000s and the 80s and 90s, all that, you didn't really hear guys tearing ACL so much and how these injuries that's happening. So, like, because that's all because of this wear and tear on guys' body. So, definitely they're at a disadvantage when it comes to this playing. Because now, I'm not knocking it, but and also I look at it, too, as a talent-wise. I think that's why sometimes kids overseas are a little bit more advanced. Talent, not physically, but talent-wise, kids are more advanced than the kids at home because overseas, they work on, you know, getting better, work on dribbling and shooting and learning how to play the game, where now they just throw kids in the game to tell them to get up and down, where some kids just can get it, but some kids really need that work. And how can you get work when you're playing, you know, games all day? So it's a fine balance. We got to, try to figure out how we can do that. But definitely it takes a toll on these kids' bodies.
No, I agree. That's why I think they need to play more boys and girls basketball. I'm a boys and girls basketball coach, so I'm biased.
Yeah.
So I feel like kids will learn a lot more if they can just kind of, you know, work on the basics. A lot of coaches take the time with them. I'm talking about the good coaches, not the horrible coaches. That's a whole different story, though.
Yeah.
You're different in many ways. You took the whole public school route at Oxon Hill. A lot of folks, even back then, were going, you know, prep schools or private schools. What made you want to, you know, keep it local and stay, you know, within your school, range?
So for me, going into high school, I wanted to do the math and the McNamara's or whatever. So, funny thing, like, McNamara, I almost went to McNamara, but I ain't even qualified to get in. Like, my grades just wasn't the greatest. So, I ain't qualified to get in there. But my father, he kind of told me, he was like, man, you should take a different route. I said, what do you mean? I said, nah, I won't be seen. He's like, you good enough, they're going to find you.
True. Yeah.
And I didn't understand at the time, but now I'm older. I'm like, wow, I guess he's true. Like, if you're good enough, they're going to find you. So, for me, I kind of feel like he's like, you know, make your own journey. And so my freshman year, I went to Oxon Hill when I was able to, you know, play varsity my freshman year. It was crazy because four of my teammates that went to private school that I played with, Boys and Girls Club, they ended up transferring from the private schools back to Oxon Hill or whatever. So we was able to hoop together and, make some state championship runs or whatever. But definitely, like I said, just took advice from my father. He's like, you're good enough, they're gonna find you, whether you have McNamara or Austin Hill. I think it definitely hurt me probably not being ranked and all that stuff, but I still got a scholarship out. I mean, that definitely does play a factor on where you are as far as rankings and stuff like that. That definitely, as far as, getting a scholarship and, getting looks, I definitely still got the look.
So, like, balling at Austin Hill, what were some of the players that you, like, enjoyed to play against in that time frame?
On different teams?
Yeah, on different teams, yeah.
Definitely Eddie Batson, Delonte West, okay. Delonte Holland. Roosevelt has some moms.
I know, we did. We did. I grew up with those dudes. We did.
Yeah, I don't know how we got past them, man. They had moms, man.
Yeah. D. Holland was, like, underrated, man. D. Holland is underrated, man.
Yeah. I miss. I got Ricky Shields at Parkdale. Mm-hmm. I'm about to miss some people. Sherrod Ford at Gwynn Park, Lewis Hennett at Gwynn Park. I mean, I can go on for days. I'm trying to think. Sam Young.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like I missed some people. At Suitland, we had Bobby Mays. Largo, you had, I'm missing Lil Will. So, like, it was just so many dudes that we played every night. It was a battle. Mm-hmm. So, I think, man, that was some, like, honestly, 4A basketball. I mean, Prince George's County was like some of the funnest basketball because, like, it's nothing like going to another school, man. Especially like that Suitland rivalry, that Lava rivalry, everybody talking trash. It's nothing like it, man. So that battle, like, I people think I'm crazy. I'm like, man, I'd rather have those battles than that Syracuse Georgetown battle.
What?
And it was so fun and passionate, man, because you can imagine, like, you got the fans and, like, don't get me wrong, like, college is a great atmosphere, but there's nothing like that home when you got dudes in the joint talking crazy to you. And the bands going at it back and forth, the battle. So it was cool, man. It was a lot of fun.
Well, team at your Sula, man. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, I know. I heard.
I'm just saying, man.
I preserve my comments.
Oh, man, Mike, man, I appreciate you for being on, man. Is there anything you want to say before we let you go?
Nah, man, thank you guys for having me. You know, keep doing what you're doing. You know, keep talking in hoops and just, you know, talking on, you know, sports, and keep doing what you got to do, man. Much love to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate you, brother.
Oh, man, you stay blessed, man. Thanks again.
Y'all too. Y'all be safe, fellas.
All right, same here.
All right, man.
Man, that was Georgetown Hoyer, great, and PG County legend Mike Sweetie, man. Appreciate him, man. He was awesome. Right, Will, too?
Yes, he was awesome, man. And the Knicks ruined his career.
Look, I've always said this, man, and you know, we talked about it. It really depends, like, what team drafts you. And then also, like, if they have, like, your position already in stock, that hurts a young player's progression. We talked about that with DeMar Johnson, right? A little bit.
Absolutely. It's all about at the next level. I know, like, most fans, they think, you know, guys, you know, they have the talent, they get paid, they should put in the hours in the gym. But, you know, as a young player, there's still things you need to work on, and that's where that player development and that front office comes in. So if you don't go to a situation that has a strong front office and infrastructure in place, you know, things can go awry.
Definitely. All right, man. Will the Skins trade Ryan Anderson, Seawall Sports and Entertainment's Candy Waller will join us to discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, killing, he's a hero. Get it to the kids who the hell cares. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First, ship them, don't let them deal with brothers. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brothers, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how I was supposed to be. How can the devil take my brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then it changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Hear me.
Oh, come on. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Oh yeah. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Wole. Ray Jeezy is out. Happy birthday, Tupac, again, man. I wanted to make sure that's being heard, man. Tupac birthday, man. Happy birthday to, like, the go-to rap. That's just my whole thing. But right now, we have Seawaller Sports and Entertainment's Candy Waller on the line. What's up, Candy?
Hey, y'all. What's up?
Not much, Candy.
How you doing, Candy?
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing well. How are you all doing? You all staying well, staying safe?
Yeah, I'm staying well.
As best as possible during these interesting times.
I'm just mad at people. I'm mad at people still trying to go out. Just because they say they in phase one, phase two, people still trying to go out. I don't know. I'm over people now.
Yeah.
They need to phase.
Yeah, I'm still in the house.
Yeah, they need to phase.
I'm still in the house.
Exactly. They need to phase their ass back, stay in the house. That's what they need to do. Phase their ass back right in the house. People, once they hear something, they was pressed to get outside. I tell you, like, oh snap, phase one, we can go out. I was like, all right, you got it.
Right, like, y'all go first.
Yeah, y'all go first, man. Y'all go first. Y'all got the juice, man. Y'all go first. All right, Candy. There have been reports that teams have called the skins about linebacker Ryan Anderson. Should the team trade him?
You know, this is a tough one because I saw, you know, of course, the reports about teams being interested in Ryan Anderson. The Redskins have a lot of depth at linebacker. I'm not in favor of trading Ryan Anderson. Just because we just don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, with everything going on, this week would have technically been, I think, the start of, like, mandatory OTAs, mm-hmm. I think, for the Skins.
Yeah.
So it's just so hard to tell without getting these guys out on the field. So I personally, and I'm not in favor of trading them because, I have so much high expectations for these guys with the new coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Coach Rivera, you know, made a comment, I think, that maybe folks ran with, you know, but my eyes, you know, my eyebrows did raise when he said it last week in a press conference that, you know, Ryan Anderson is a guy that, you know, we have to obviously, you know, find a home for. And it was like, oh, okay.
Hmm.
You know, what does that mean? But I think we saw some good strides in Ryan Anderson mm-hmm. last year. So he's actually one of the players that I'm hoping to see really step into his groove with this new coaching staff. So I am actually not in favor of trades.
Yeah, it's interesting because Ryan Anderson was a guy, if you looked at him his rookie season, didn't really wow folks. And then you look at last season, I like to think that it was a season, I'm going to say breakout, that's a little strong, but a season that he showed a lot of promise. And, you know, you could say he outplayed folks like Ryan Kerrigan in limited attempts. So and then they are stacked. I mean, not stacked, but they do have a lot of individuals within the linebacking room. And it's hard to see who can fit where and whatnot. And they're still working on that. But I mean, the way he's improving, I think it's a guy that, you know, obviously there's certain picks. If you're trading him for like a second rounder or a third rounder, you got to really consider trading him. But he's a guy that has showed so much promise to a point where, you know, he could start on this team. You know what I mean? And do you want to trade a guy that's going to be a starter?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. I think, again, you know, whether or not they'll be in person in training camp, how everything goes with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
One of the messages we've been hearing the coaching staff preach is competition,
yes.
competition. So I don't think you trade Ryan Anderson just to keep that competition going. Mm-hmm. I really think these guys need to get an opportunity. Of course, you get cut. That's one thing. But trading them, I think if they did trade them, while I'm not in favor of it, right, if they did trade them, I don't see them receiving you know, anything maybe higher than like maybe a fifth or something for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be like a day three draft pick.
Yeah.
So I exactly what you just said. He was underwhelming his first two seasons, absolutely. Very underwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he got the message last year. He knew he was underwhelming and, you know, probably saw the feedback from the fan base as well. And he stepped it up for sure.
I'm
looking forward to seeing what he can do, you know.
No, I'm with you. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now, we are rapping with Candy Waller from C Wall Sports and Entertainment. So you think he's worth, if on the market, when you're looking at him, you know, even with, you know, his promise, his potential of play, his potential as a fifth round pick, right? Like, that's what he can get. That's what the best Ryan Anderson can get.
Well, you know, the best. Yeah,
that sounds good. No, I'm agreeing with you. I just want to see, wanted to make sure.
Yeah, you know, the best you can get for sure. I don't think you're gonna get anything higher from him, you know, for him.
Mm. Yeah, because
I mean, mm-hmm. And look, they traded Quinn Dunbar for a fifth, and Quinn Dunbar had way better season. But
yeah, very good point. Very good point you're making.
So I was thinking about that out loud as we were just talking. Might not even get a fit for him now that I just said that out loud,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, let me say this. Mm-hmm. I think both of you made great points, but I think this is one thing that people have, I think we haven't mentioned thus far. This is a new coaching staff, new regime.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should be evaluated for their play on the field coming into this training camp.
Sweet.
And see how, and then project how they fit into what Jack Del Rio is trying to do. Ryan Anderson, yeah, he hasn't lived up to, I guess, the potential that some people thought, or has exceeded the expectations that some people thought he would have, being a second round pick, drafted in 2017. But, you know, you're switching to a new system, a base 4-3 system under Jack Del Rio. We don't know what role Ryan Anderson would play. And last time I checked, this team was ranked, I think, towards the bottom of the league last year in total defense.
True.
So you shouldn't be giving up any talent that you have on the roster for a third day pick. Ryan Anderson should be given the opportunity to come in, compete, and then you let the cards fall where they may if he doesn't pan out. To me, Ryan Anderson, he reminds just him physically and the things and his talent. It reminds me a little bit of a guy that went to the Miami Dolphins this offseason and Kyle Van Noy. You know, so we don't know, you know, maybe Ryan Anderson isn't the best pass rusher, but physically in the things he's able to do, like setting the edge, a very reminiscent of what Kyle Van Noy did for New England the past couple of years. And, you know, Kyle Van Noy hit it big this offseason going to the Miami Dolphins. So there may be potential for him to be traded to New England, you know, towards the end of training camp, but I don't think you get rid of any talent at this point until you see how they fit into your system.
No, that's a great point. I mean, and I wholeheartedly agree. It's like, you're exactly right. The Redskins can't afford to get rid of anybody unless someone has been vocal about not wanting to be there, right? So we've seen that.
Yeah.
They remove somebody is because they've been vocal about not wanting to be a Redskin. But you're exactly right. You know, I always say, you know, can't forget the Redskins was 3-13 last year.
Yeah.
A little bit of talent they have, a little bit of spark that we did see fly. Keep them around and make them compete for their position. Make them compete for that roster spot.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with that.
Yep. No, I agree with Will. I actually think if you're going to trade them, I think New England would be the best place. I mean, the perfect fit. They always get players like Ryan Anderson. If you look at the makeup, he's like a New England Patriot caliber linebacker. He fits him perfectly. So if he's good enough for a Super Bowl champion caliber organization, then he's good enough for the Washington Redskins.
Absolutely.
So, hey, Candy, thanks for being on the show. How can folks catch your show? And also, how can they hit you up on social media?
So you can catch my show every Thursday on the Seawall Sports and Entertainment Facebook page. I go live every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. So you can catch me on Facebook. You can also follow on Instagram at Seawall Sports and on Twitter at Seawall SC.
Candy, you still there, right? I didn't miss you, did I?
Nah.
All right, cool. All right, Candy, still there, right?
Yeah,
all right, cool. Just making sure. My headphones are geeking. I just had to make sure. hey, Candy, thanks again. And also, Candy does big things, so make sure you check her out. I want to make sure Candy hears me say that. She's doing big things. Check her out. Her live show is awesome on Thursdays. Like she says, it's popping. And she knows her stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Candy knows her stuff. So as you can tell by listening to the show now, if you sat and actually talked to Candy about the Wizards, the Skins, whoever, like, she knows her stuff.
I appreciate that.
No,
thank you.
No problem, Candy. I gotta rep the area. I gotta rep the culture. You gotta know this.
Absolutely.
Hey, Candy, thanks again. All right, much appreciated.
Thank you, Candy. We appreciate you.
All right, thanks y'all for having me.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right,
bye-bye. That is Candy Waller from Seawall Sports. Make sure you check her out. All right. Hey, Candy, I love Candy. She has so much energy, and she knows what she's talking about. Not a lot of people know what they're talking about. She knows what she's talking about. All right, Will T. Yeah, no, go ahead, quick.
Her energy is very infectious.
It is, man. It is. I like that. Like, I like when people come on the show and they just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel it. That makes you hype. All right, man. All right, I want to talk boxing. We're going to do this after a break. But 2021, man, finally, Fury is taking on the Nigerian London Brit, Anthony Joshua. Bite Down Boxing's Reginald Woodson will jump on the show to discuss this big announcement, which happened last week after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
And hardly spell her name. That's not our problem, that's up to Brenda's family. Well, let me show you how it affects our whole community. Now Brenda really never knew her moms, and her dad was a junkie putting death into his arms. It's sad, cause I bet Brenda doesn't even know. Just cause you're in the ghetto doesn't mean you can't grow. But oh, that's a book, my own revelation. Do whatever it takes to resist the temptation. Brenda got herself a boyfriend. Her boyfriend was a cousin, now let's rock the joy. And she tried to hide her pregnancy from a family who really didn't care to see or give a damn if she went out and had a church of kids. As long as when the check came, they got first dibs. Now Brenda's belly's getting bigger, but no one seems to notice any change in her figure. She's 12 years older, she's having a baby, in love with a molester who's sexing her crazy. And yeah, and also thinks that'll be with her forever, and dreams of a world with the two of them are together. Whatever, he left there and she had the baby solo. She had it on the bathroom floor and didn't know, so she didn't know what to throw away and what to keep. She wrapped the baby up and threw him in a trash heap. I guess she thought she'd get away, wouldn't hear the cries. She didn't realize how much the little baby had her eyes. Now the baby's in a trash heap, bawling. Mama can't help her, but it hurts to hear her calling. Brenda wants to run away. Mama say you're making me lose pay, and social workers here every day. Now Brenda's gotta make her own way. Can't go to a family, they won't let her stay. No money, no babysitter, she couldn't keep a job. She tried to sell crack, but end up getting robbed. So now what's next? It ain't nothing left to sell. So she sees sex.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Wole. Who doesn't love Brenda's Got a Baby? Happy birthday, Pac. Like, that's one of my favorite Pac songs. Actually, it is my favorite Pac song. I'm not going to lie. One of my favorite songs, period, in life, though. You know what I'm saying? It's like the storytelling of that song is amazing. Just amazing. And if I didn't say Ray Jeezy's out, I know I said Will T, but Ray Jeezy's out. All right. Right now, we have Bite Down Boxing's Reginald Woodson on the line. Make sure you check out his Pay Me No Mind YouTube channel for sports and entertainment. What's up, Wood?
I'm great, fellas. How are you guys?
We're good, man.
Doing just excellent, man. Doing excellent. Thank you for asking.
So Wood, before we start, let our listeners know about Bite Down Boxing and your YouTube channel.
Bite Down Boxing is basically what it is. I just try to talk about boxing in a professional manner. I'd hate to say unbiased because I do give my opinion, but it's more so on a lot of the action in the ring versus dealing with the stuff outside of the ring and who didn't fight who and all of that type of stuff. It's plenty of outlets for that type of discussion. I really like to focus on fights that are made and then fight night. And then, you know, I take a quick look ahead of where guys could realistically go. So I do all of that over on BiteDownBoxing.com. It's just me over there. So I cover what I can cover as one man.
Oh, awesome, man. And, wow.
And then Pay Me No Mind was actually my first audio-only podcast that Mr. Wally helped me get running back in the day. I'm damn near an offshoot or a son of Wally in some way. And I had to move it on to I had to move my audio only podcast over to YouTube just because of financial, you know, limited resources and whatnot.
Mm.
So I do sports and entertainment over there. That's where I do my my coverage of for Bite Down Boxing on there, recapping fight nights and previewing fights and dealing with some headlines throughout the week just to have some content. And then I also talk a lot of music. I do a lot of music reviews, television series, and movies when I get a chance.
Favorite album of the year so far?
Album of the year.
I know 2020's been kind of, you know, kind of messed up, but still.
Yeah. Can I give my
Go ahead, Will T. Go ahead.
Run the Jewels 4. That's my choice.
What's that? What?
I just reviewed that one last week. Mm-hmm. That's an excellent choice. They might have my video of the year for the Ooh La La joint, which kind of mirrors what's going on in the world, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks. Mm. So I thought that was very timely on that. I'm gonna go outside of the box, man. My sleeper of the year would probably go to a project called Juno by a female out of Buffalo named Shay Noir. And I'm just blown away by this girl's game. I mean, she's a standalone legit rapper. So yeah. I would just, to your listeners, man, if you want to hear something new, Shay Noir. All
right, I may need to check her out because I'm bad with new folks. I'm only doing retro folks nowadays because everybody looks the same.
I'm with you. I've been there. I don't want to take up time on music, but. Check my channel out, man. I'm covering a lot of different artists that are out there, and so it's like a pack of or a group of New York based MCs that I stumbled across messing around streaming, and I could give you about 10 guys that are kind of phenomenal. But okay. We can talk about that later.
We will. Okay, I'm blessed though. I get to talk boxing with two homies that know the game for real. All right, so there's a two-fight agreement between Lineal and WBC heavyweight champ Tyson Fury and WBO, WBA, and IBF heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua for 2021. How big is this fight? Or these fights? How big could these fights be? Put it that way.
I think they can be phenomenal. They're obviously going to be the biggest that boxing has to offer. And not only in the size of the participants, but at this point, I would say it probably even shadows Bud Crawford and Errol Spence Jr.
Ooh, love it.
I think the heavyweight division is picking up to where it's kind of on that level at this point.
Mm.
And there's several guys to come in the pipeline. I think the only thing here that's kind of messing with the magnitude of it for me is the fact that it's very likely that this fight could not happen, may not happen in the UK,
mm-hmm.
and it might go over to Saudi Arabia. And that's not really a fight for the people, in my opinion, man. That's going to be in front of a bunch of rich guys who bought the event. And it's not going to be, you know, 100,000 people at Wembley or somewhere in the UK. And I think... while being able to boast of bringing together the biggest bout in British boxing history, with it not based there, I mean, it's the historical impact is going to be lessened for myself.
Will T.
As you stated, this is a big fight, but it has the ability to be huge, and here's why. You know, even though Tyson Fury still has to get past Deontay Wilder, but realistically you're looking at the two guys who are clear-cut the two best heavyweights. You know, you could arguably say are the two best heavyweights within boxing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that will be, you know, outside of the location, another thing that'll be a very big factor in this fight will be exactly when this fight will be. And mm-hmm. here's why, because as you know, we're all living through the COVID-19, you know, social distancing, and you know, we know the effects that it's having on sports. But will this fight be in a stadium? Hopefully in the UK. If it's not in Vegas, hopefully in the UK. And I definitely don't want to see it in Saudi Arabia. But if it is either in Vegas or the UK, will there be a actual live crowd that have the ability to attend in person? And we all know, as you know, boxing, the big boxing matches are made with the energy from the crowd. And on top of, you know, having two phenomenal fighters who are willing to put it all out on the line. So you add those things into it. This has the ability to be a huge fight. But there's still a lot of variables. But one of the best things that's happened for these two boxers has been Tyson Fury linking up with Top Rank and getting that deal with ESPN and him having his past two or three fights on ESPN in America, and him having that name recognition in America. That'll easily translate to eyes on pay-per-view, people purchasing the fight, if it is in UK, if it is in Vegas, and hopefully, well, I'll say it again, hopefully it's not in Saudi Arabia.
Well, there's a good chance this fight won't even happen in the U.S. Does that hurt the product of it not happening in the U.S.?
You know, for me, and I say this all the time on my boxing coverage, I don't mention it so much in my articles, but mainly in videos, I'm a fan of midday or earlier boxing, and I really think that I get the prime time thing. I know we want to buy our, you know, our adult beverages and wings and pizza and do the late night gatherings and all that, but we just don't really. The sport really just doesn't have it like that to stay stuck in that mode. So for me, you know, if they did it in Vegas, obviously, you know, the guys would be entering the ring probably around midnight, you know, 11:45 or midnight Eastern time. If they do it over in the UK and whatnot, I mean, we probably get a fight that starts at like 7-ish or 8-ish or something. And like I said, for me, that's great, man. I think one thing that's being lost on a lot of these bigger fights that we do have is you watch this exciting conclusion, and then we talk for a minute, and then we go to bed. It's not like you can get on, or it's not like that they can chop it up on TV somewhere because it's after 1 o'clock in the morning. So I think for me, I'm a fan, you know, of some of these cards that I've seen from the UK, you know, earlier in the daytime.
Hey, Will?
No, I agree with him. The ability for fans or even just casual viewers of boxing to have time to interact, for there to be more engagement after a fight is over, is something that's key, you know, because, you know, a great fight will typically keep people up debating the results of the fight. And it also is something that will bleed over into pop culture coverage of news Sunday and then into Monday with the major sports broadcast. So, you know, as you stated, that you know, the idea of having it in the UK, which I'm really a fan of, I don't think would be a terrible thing at all. But if we do have it, you know, in Las Vegas, and the fight, you know, the fight does go off in Vegas, I definitely agree that we should try, you know, the promoters, not we, but the promoters should try to start the fight by no later than 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, I agree. It's starting to get ridiculous. Fight starting at like 12:30.
Yeah, fight starting at midnight, then it's over at 1. You know, you try to stay up to watch the press conference. Mm-hmm. You know, then it's not over to 2. Then it's, you know, it's like no one's really talking about it at that point.
Yeah.
But if you move the card, you know, if you move the fight up, the main event time, start time up, then people, there's a higher level of engagement, and that engagement will continue on into Sunday and then on until Monday, you know, morning and Monday afternoon.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have the homie Reginald Woodson from Bite Down Boxing on the line. My bad. Go ahead, Red. Go ahead, Wood.
I was just going to say, and you know, boxing still has an older demographic that is like the core fans. And I think the sport needs to keep an eye if you want to lure in those younger eyes. To get them initially, you might have to, like I said, you might have to move this fight up because they may not be ready to give up their entire Saturday night where they want to go out and hit the streets and do what they do. So I just think we're leaving some yards on the field by continuing to have these fights, the main event, going off at after midnight.
Well, it makes sense. I'm not going to lie to you.
Let me ask you this, Reginald. Let me ask you this. As you know, you notice, you know, ESPN has invested a lot of money into MMA. What do you think that the boxing promoters can do to take some of those younger viewers who are really into MMA and make them boxing fans?
Man, that's a very difficult question. Because I don't know if it doesn't bother me that it's multiple champions in each weight class. I don't know if younger and newer fans and newcomers can really embrace that. So and I don't see those four sanctioning bodies going away or being shrunk down to just one. So I think they need to work on the education a little bit better and stress how international boxing is, while UFC is too, but kind of explaining the significance. You know, I like the four divisions because with it being so international, I think it's an opportunity for fighters around the globe to become champions. And you got so many fighters coming from, economically challenged nations and whatnot. And when these dudes do get a chance to get their hands on the belt, I think that's a good thing for the sport. But then we run into the issue with language barriers and whatnot. And then just to speed the conversation up, have a better way to push for unification fights so that, yeah, you might have these four sanctioning bodies out there, but with some kind of, in some kind of timely manner, make sure that it's two belt holders who are unified. And then, you know, you can get to moving into that undisputed fight, which is what's going on right now with, you know, talking about this Fury and AJ fight with all the belts that Wiley opened up with. It just needs to be more of a sensible way to get us to those two unification fights and then two undisputed fights.
So how does my next question is, so how does Deontay Wilder is up next for Tyson Fury, you know, so they can have that trilogy go down. What if Wilder beats Fury? How does that interfere with the potential fight in 2021? Because I think Wilder's fighting Fury in October, supposed to happen in October, or did they get pushed back again?
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, go ahead.
No, that was it. That was it.
I just think, a lot of people are kind of counting Deontay Wilder out at this point just because, we do have to factor in that he's aging. We do have to factor in that he's showing a lot of wear and tear, and he just was beat convincingly in a punishing fight. It was hard to ignore what we saw from how he looked physically, and whether or not people want to subscribe to the 40-pound, 45-pound outfit and whatnot, wherever you are with that, whatever.
Total BS.
I'm not in that school of thought right there, and so I'm really wondering what he can do physically. But to answer your question, you know, if he comes in and throws a monkey wrench in things somehow, that would really upset the apple cart significantly, because I don't think that that Eddie Hearn Matchroom Boxing and Anthony Joshua, I think it's such a barrier there that the PBC would figure out a way to go into go a different direction.
I think we're, you know, if you're a student of history, you know that history repeats itself. And we kind of saw a similar, even though they didn't have a two-fight agreement in place, we kind of saw this back in the 60s with Ollie Frazier and George Foreman.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think what would happen is we would be at a interesting cross-section, because if Deontay Wilder goes out and he beats Tyson Fury and he does it convincingly, a fight that had a lot of hype behind it prior to, you know, Deontay Wilder losing was Deontay Wilder versus Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
So then we're kind of back at square one with, you know, as far as negotiation between Eddie Hearn and Deontay Wilder's team. You know, would we be able to get a unification fight? I think, you know, cooler heads will prevail, and, you know, and if the money's there and, you know, we're able to, and if there are actual stands in the arena, I think a fight would be able to be made. But if Deontay Wilder were to win, I definitely think it throws a wrench into the plans and us potentially getting an undisputed heavyweight champion.
So true. So true. All right. Well, Wood, thanks for being on the show, my man. Let our listeners.
Thanks, Wood. We appreciate you, bro.
And let our listeners know what you have popping going in terms of content. Also, how can they catch you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm only on social media at waterbed_reg, just like waterbed heavy D. And you can check me out. You can check me out on Instagram for that. At Bite Down Boxing is also on Instagram. I throw up as much. I could be better in my game over there.
You're doing all right.
I need to grab me up an intern who's proficient with PowerPoint, Photoshop, or After Effects, some of that, whatever that junk is. But basically, I just try to keep articles out there on ByteDownBoxing.com. And then, like I said, I really had a great time recently. With the work stoppage in sports and in boxing specifically, I've had I've just kind of uncovered that I really enjoy breaking down records. I know that, or albums. I know that Wally is a huge DMX fan and Big Crit.
You know it.
So I'm enjoying that, and I think, you know, I'm trying to apply kind of like the same way that I approach boxing and, awesome. And breaking down fights and stuff. To talking up some of these different albums. And really, man, I just like trying to inform people of what's dope in the world.
Mm.
And so I'm not going to be your negative guy. I'm not going to, you know, the sky is falling. Music is trash. Boxing is trash. Man, there's so much stuff in the world right now. If you don't like movies, you can watch TV series. Mm. If you don't like TV series, it's a couple of, you know, some movies out there. If you want to be happy, you can go out here and find what you want. And if you come check me out on Pay Me No Mind Sports and Entertainment, I'm going to give you something to be enthusiastic about.
My man, I love it.
All right, one more album for you.
All right, go ahead, Wilson. Give me the album. Drop it.
Alfredo by Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist. What you think?
Man, I can't touch real teeth, man. We don't know what you don't even need me on here. I'm gonna keep it a buck with you, man. I just broke down and listened to Freddie Gibbs for the first time about 6 or 7 months ago. He had an appearance on NPR's Tiny Desk concert series.
Yeah.
And he did some of the joints off of Bandana with a Madlib.
Yep.
And then from there, I went and checked out Bandana, the studio version. And then, so I was excited when he got with Alchemist and put out that Alfredo. I got I do have a review of that one out there on Pay Me No Mind. And yeah, man, that's another great, that's probably in your top three, you know, top two for album of the year right now as well.
Yeah.
And that's that Midwest.
Yeah. I'm gonna definitely check out your album reviews, man. And I, you know, if I, you know, if I see something, we definitely have some friendly debate over some things.
No problem. I'm all for that. You know what? That's what's like I said, I'll be 45 in a little under a month. Mm-hmm. And that was chopping it up about music, man, was such an integral part of your teenage years. And as people get older, man, we don't really chop up music anymore on a real thoughtful level anymore because everybody is so busy. So
people don't appreciate. I don't mean to cut you off, and I know we kind of going over time.
It's all good. Go ahead.
Now, people don't appreciate albums the way they used to do, like a whole body of work where you sit down, listen to it, analyze the lines, you know, listen to the instrumentation, man. People just don't have an appreciation for that anymore. It's just everybody listens to, you know, what's the hot song of the week, then it's on to the next thing. It's like music is disposable now. Like, I enjoy listening to a whole album from front to back and looking at the album cover and seeing,
yes, sir,
who produced it, where was it produced, you know, where was it recorded at, all those small intricacies. So I still appreciate that.
Will got you covered, man. He all over it.
Yeah, Will real, man. I like ripping music off and stuff. I'm like a whole different beast. I'm the worst person in the world. but I keep it 100, though. Hey, man, appreciate you, man. Hey, you're gonna have to come back on again, man.
Definitely, baby. Appreciate you, fellas. Keep doing what you're doing. Peace.
All right, peace, man.
All right, brother, stay safe.
Same, yeah, definitely, yep. Stay safe. All right, that is my man Wood, man. Wood, cool people, man. That is a good brother right there.
Real good people, man.
Yeah, real good
energy.
Yeah, another one, man. We hitting 100, man. We hitting 100, man. Was it 300? Was it? Yeah, 1,000. We hitting batting 1,000. That's what it is.
Yeah, batting 1,000.
Thank you, man. I'm a baseball guy. I should know this. Batting 1,000. All right, subscribe.
I mean,
what?
I don't know how you could be a baseball guy when there's no baseball, because baseball is effing it up. But like I said, I'm not going to get on my soapbox.
I know. You wanted to talk about it last week, right? Wasn't it last? No, it was last week.
I did want to talk about it. But I mean, at this point, the way that they're effing it up so bad, man, it's like when you do come back,
yeah, it's
really going to pay attention?
No one's going
to.
Nah, not really.
No one's going to care. No one's going to care about baseball when it comes back.
Nah, not at this point in time. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify. Yes, we on Spotify now. iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. All right, man. Will T, it was a great show, man. I'm biased. It was a great show, though.
It was a great show, man. You know, if I do decide to take another week off, I'm not going to let people know on the show because people were, you know, just flooding my inbox. Instagram, Facebook,
they were like, Will T, you can't miss it. They said, you can't miss today's show.
So, you know, if I do decide to take a week off, I'm not going to
don't broadcast it, man. Because, you know, the streets be talking, bro. The streets be talking, man. All right, man. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.